Continue our look at heaven.
You've got your Bibles. If you'll turn to two places, because we'll go to both of them, okay? So we want to go to Romans chapter 8, and then 2 Peter chapter 3. Romans chapter 8, and then we'll start there, but then we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we open up His Word this morning. Dear Lord, now we open up Your Word, and these words are not just man-made, somebody just making it up and, just off the top of their head. Lord, this is from You. It was written for us. It was for our benefit, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, that we would understand Your Word, and may it make us long for heaven as we think about our final for eternity place that will be with You forever. So give help, Lord. We need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Heaven. Thank you for all those pictures. We'll see. You know, we talked about there's four heavens, right? There's the first heaven, which is the blue sky, right? It's the atmosphere where we see the birds of the heavens. The second heaven, the stars, the starry skies, right? And the third heaven is where God is. He's beyond the starry skies, right? And so we want to think about, last week we looked at the third heaven, and today we want to get into just introducing now our eternal home, the fourth heaven. But before we do that, we want to think about this earth that God created. It's a beautiful place. It's beyond the biggest telescopes, and God has created an amazing, amazing universe. We haven't seen it all. We can see a little, and we're thankful for what He's done, and it makes us in awe of Him, and we seem so small. In fact, we are very small. We are teeny, teeny, tiny. When you think about the universe, and you think about the love that God has for us, sinners. But God has created an amazing planet that we live on. It's just right for life. It is one of the great miracles that God created a place for life to develop and to exist. And on this planet, there's so much detail. The amazing colors and the way life goes from one species to the next, one generation to the next, the way your heart beats and you don't even think about it, and your lungs work and cells divide, and how does this all work? And then just His wonderful creation of the mountains and we looked at the stars, but this is the planet itself, full of trees, and which gives off carbon dioxide, and we breathe that in and give off the carbon dioxide, and there's this give and take. It's just a perfect environment. But something happened along the way, didn't it? And we're going to look at that today. So on this chart, which is a broken down chart of a larger chart of what's called the two roads and the two destinies, without going into a lot of the detail here that's on this chart behind me, you'll notice up at the top where your soul goes after you die. your soul, there's two compartments if you look at it. There's the soul, there's the bottom compartment. We looked at Hades, which we talked about the lower compartment of Hades, where people will go to hell. And then if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, then you're on your way to heaven, which is where my dad is today. And we use this illustration. My dad just died less than a year ago. He asked Jesus to be his Savior, and he's with the Lord in the third heaven. So, but what's going to happen, of course, is if you look over here on the far, just barely on the screen, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that is heaven. That is our resting place forever, where we'll live with the Lord, be with Him forever. But one of the things that we just introduced last week is that Satan doesn't want us to think about heaven. Satan is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. And he doesn't want us to think about our home. He doesn't want us to get excited about our home. He wants us to think that heaven will be boring. And so we need to live it up right now because, man, when we get to heaven, it's going to be pretty boring just sitting around just for eternity. And that's what he just keep going. You know, even the Antichrist, when you look at Revelation, talks negatively about heaven. Did you see this verse? The Antichrist will open up his mouth. He will not only blaspheme God, he will not only slander God's name, but he will slander heaven itself. And so if the Antichrist is going to do that in the future, what's Satan doing now? Same stuff. You know, Abraham, Hebrews tells us, he didn't have all the answers of what heaven would be like, but what he did know made him look forward. The Bible says he was looking forward to this city whose foundations and the architect and the builder was God. The foundations was built by God. And he was looking forward with just the information that he had. The Bible says that we here, when we live on this earth right now, we don't have an enduring city. But we're looking forward to it. And we should be. We should be looking forward to the New Jerusalem. Heaven will come down to earth. And we will be with the Lord forever. Longing for heaven. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? So today we want to introduce the new heavens and the new earth that's found in Revelation 21. It's the fourth heaven. It's the final heaven. It's a perfect world. Which brings us back to creation. You see, we were created to live on this earth. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have lived forever on this earth. Mankind was created to live on this earth. In a perfect world. Perfect world. In fact, we can learn about the future heaven, which is the new earth. Did you catch that, right? I saw a new heaven and a new earth, right? So we can learn about the future heaven by looking back, looking to the future by looking back at the old earth. Genesis starts off with a perfect world. Revelation ends with a perfect world. And you start looking at the similarities and you'll see what God had in mind originally and what Satan messed up and what God is going to correct. So what do we learn from Genesis about that perfect environment called Eden? It was on earth. It was a perfect world. There was no death. There was no curse on the ground or on creation itself. There was no shame. Nothing to be shamed about because there was no sin. And God walked with man in the cool of the day. There was communication, right? And man had dominion over the animals and over this earth. It was a perfect world. It was the world that God set up for man. And at the end of the Bible, we have Revelation. And Revelation talks about the new heaven and the new earth. And they parallel each other as you go down. A couple of tweaks at the bottom. Whereas in Genesis, God would come down and walk with man. God will live with us on the new earth. Man had dominion over the earth. We will co-reign with Jesus forever on the new earth. So, let's go back in time. Let's look at the old earth just for a second, and may it get us excited about our new earth, which is coming. Well, what happened? What happened to ruin the first earth? Because God, when He created it, everything that He had made, He said it was good. Everything was good. Very good. The heavens and the earth. Now remember, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. But in the beginning, the heavens and the earth, everything was good. There was no problem. Perfect world. He told Adam and Eve, you got one rule. If you do this, boy, you're in the perfect environment, the perfect place, you're going to have a perfect life. Just don't eat of this one tree. But if you do now, you're going to die. You're going to mess up everything now. Just don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it, and everything will be good. So as you know, Satan, he comes along. Of course, Satan's been kicked out of heaven because of his pride. And so he comes down, he tempts Eve. Did God surely say? And he plants the seeds of doubt. And so Adam and Eve both eat of the forbidden fruit. Well, what happened at that moment changed the course of history. Both of them died. Both of them died. God says, when you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. They died in two ways. Now, many people, when they read that, they say, see, they didn't die because they kept living. Adam lived to be over 900 years old. No, they died twice, in two ways. One, they were going to die eventually. Whereas if they hadn't eaten from the tree, they would have lived forever. Well, they died. But then immediately, they died spiritually. And as a result of their sin, you and I are sinners. We have it naturally because of Adam and Eve. I was talking with a man at another chapel not too long ago. He says, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to have a talk with Adam. I said, we're going to have some things to discuss here, buddy. Because it affected us, right? But mankind will die. You and I will die physically. And when you are born a sinner. As I told you before, I'd never had to teach my girls how to be bad. We went over this, right? You got to teach kids how to behave because we are naturally sinners. And the Bible makes that crystal clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, that's the first result. Death. A second result was that when mankind sinned, it affected this earth. It affected God's creation. The Bible says, cursed now is the ground, Adam, because of what you did. When you go to plant your seeds in the ground, you're going to have weeds, thorns, thistles. They weren't there before. But because of your sin, creation itself is cursed. And now we come to our verses in Romans 8, which talks about creation being very frustrated. And it's all a result of what Adam and Eve did. Now, Romans 8 is one of those powerful, powerful chapters in the book of Romans and in the whole Bible. It is a powerhouse chapter. And these verses here that we want to read come before, oftentimes, the powerhouse verses, such as Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. You know that verse. And then later on, starting in verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm convinced that neither life nor death, right? Those are the verses that get all the attention. And rightly so, they're great verses. But these verses that we're getting ready to read sometimes get pushed over to the side. Let's consider God's Word, Romans 8, starting at verse 19. Let's look at that starting 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that that will be revealed in us. We just sang a hymn real quick. Do you remember that? In the sweet by and by. When I see Him, right? When I see Him, everything else that I've gone through, I forget the words now to pop into my brain, but I know we just sang it. Everything will just go away. Boy, it was worth, will it be worth it all when we see Jesus? That was it right there. When I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now let's focus on this. The creation, right now, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Now what? The creation? The creation is waiting for resurrection day when Christians will come out of the grave. Whoa, 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 whoa. The creation is waiting for resurrection day. Okay, let's keep going. For the creation, why are they waiting for the resurrection day? For the creation was subjected to frustration. When? When Adam and Eve sinned. Not by its own choice. In other words, the earth said, why are we getting cursed? We didn't do nothing. That's Adam and Eve. But as man goes, so goes this earth. As you'll see. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Watch this. In hope. That the creation itself will be liberated from what? From the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So a very interesting thing happened then at creation. The earth all of a sudden gets punished, and the earth is saying, whoa, 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 whoa. And so the earth says, oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait to be liberated from these weeds. These germs, this death, as the animal world experiences death. And we know that the Bible says that death comes because of sin. And so the animal world is saying, thanks a lot, Adam and Eve, for your sin. Because of that, we're dying too. These trees that are dying, right? These oak trees, these beautiful oak trees. I love oak trees. I love big trees. I hate it when they cut them down. But the creation itself, the animal world, God's creation that is experiencing death and decay, and they're saying, man, I can't wait one day to be liberated from this. So the creation itself is longing for the new earth. So God now has to step in course, in between Genesis and Revelation, right? So Genesis, there's a perfect world. Revelation, there's the perfect world. So in between, man is sinned. So all throughout history, you got all these sinners. And so God says, looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, are you ready to go, so to speak? Work with me, people. Jesus, are you ready? Jesus says, I'm ready to take on a body. I'm ready to be born in Bethlehem. And I will come into this world, and I will live 33 years, a perfect life, and I will die on a cross. Why? Because the penalty of sin, what did God tell Adam and Eve? Is death. And so Jesus says, I will take these people's punishment. They died. I'll pay their price. I'll die for them. I'll take their place. And I'll hang on that cross for them. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus died. They put him in the grave. He rose again and is right now in the third heaven, seated at the right hand of God. He is in the third heaven with a real body. We talked about last week, my dad may or may not have a temporary body. Jesus has a real physical body. Thomas, reach here your hands and put them in my side. Touch me. Hey, y'all eating some fish? Hey, let me eat some of that fish. And he had a real body. He ate. Right? And so Jesus is in the third heaven. And that's just a temporary place. So he paid the price for our sins. Now, why would he do this? Why would God send his own son to die for us? Little minutia in this big creation, this universe. We are dust. We are nothing. We are shadows. And yet we are something, aren't we? We're loved by God. We're very important. We're small, but we're loved. And God says, you know what? I want to bring things back to where they used to be. Now God's thinking about in Genesis. I want to reconcile you, which means, the word means to restore a broken relationship. So Genesis, there was a perfect world. Sin enters. God says, I want to restore things to where they used to be in Genesis. But it's going to be a back in the future. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to die for you. If you put your faith in me and admit that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, you will experience the new heavens and the new earth, which you will live in perfection, the way Adam and Eve used to at creation. So the great verse here is in Colossians about reconciliation, right? For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. The ministry of reconciliation. We have a broken, let's say your marriage is going down the tubes. We got to go see a counselor, which is going to help with reconciling us back to our original relationship. We're far apart. We got to come back. We got to get reconciled. That's what God does. He said, I want to reconcile you back to myself. You know what? This is so typical of God. There are some great Bible words. I want to share a few with you. In other words, this is the way it used to be. And God says, I want to bring it back to where it used to be. Look at these words. Redemption. I want to buy you back from slavery and set you free. This is where you are now. I want to redeem you and go back to freedom. You're in bondage. I want to go back to freedom, to liberty. How about this word? Regeneration. You're born, as Jesus was telling Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, how am I going to do that? Crawl in my mom's womb again? My mom's belly? I'm a big man. How in the world is that going to happen? Jesus said, no. It's spiritually, you get a new nature. You're the same person, but you get a new nature. How about restoration? Jesus is in the business of restoring. Hey, you got leprosy? Hold out your hand, man. I want to restore you. Hey, man, you can't see? Come here. Hey, man, you can't hear? I got you. And Jesus restores people back to their original condition. How about this one? Renew. God is in the business of renewing, as you'll see here in the end, back to its original condition. If you have an old Ford Mustang, 66, whatever, you bought it at a lot, whatever, you want to restore it back to its original condition. Same car, you're going to restore it. How about resurrection? Same body, but it's alive again. God loves to take what has been messed up and bringing it back to its original condition. God is in the business of changing lives, restoring what is Satan and sin and our own selfishness has tore up. God says, I want to restore that. I want to redeem that. I want to make it like its original self. And that's what the new heaven and the new earth will be like. We will be like Adam and Eve used to be in Genesis. Did you catch the other thing in this verse? When we read that verse, you know who we think of? Humans. Just don't miss this. He came to reconcile to himself all things, whether they be on earth or in heaven. One of the amazing things that happened when Jesus died on the cross was he made a way for sinners to be reconciled to God, but because the creation is hollering too, hey God, we're frustrated down here. God says, as man goes, so will you. And they're longing for what? The resurrection day. They're longing to be liberated. The whole creation cannot wait to be set free and to go back to that original state. The creation is longing for a reconciliation. All things, not just humans, all things, the creation. And here were the verses. They are on pins and needles, the creation. Animals cannot wait. These trees, they can't wait because they're dying too. They're dying. They're in bondage to decay. But one day, they're going to be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So what are we saying? Well, what we're saying is that God is in the business of taking broken things and making them new again. Both people and this earth. We were created to live on this earth. Adam and Eve were going to live forever on this earth. Humans were created to live on this earth. Three quick verses. Look at this one. Jesus is going to remain in heaven until the time comes for him to do what? Restore everything. God is in the business of restoring us and this world. He's going to restore this world to its original condition. We will live on this earth forever. God is in the business of restoring what Satan and sin has messed up. I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his throne, this earth is going to be renewed. going to be renewed. Satan is not going to get the last laugh. God is going to change this earth. He who sits on the throne said, I am making everything new. If you go to my house, in the backyard, there is a pet cemetery. Our one pet. Our dog died this year, I think I told you. And we have a little plaque with this reference on it. Just something for you to think about. What will happen to our pets? I'll save that for another day. What does our Bible say? I'm making all things new. You getting excited about heaven? Wouldn't it be like God to, when we get there, bring a pet around the corner? You see Jesus, you worship Jesus. I see my dad. And then God says, hey, got a little something, a little extra for you. Woof, 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 woof. Hey, I'll let you make your mind up. God's going to make all things new because the creation cannot wait. And my dog is part of that creation. I'll let you decide. It's an interesting thought. You getting excited? We're just touching on it, right? Heaven's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Right? It's going to be perfect. And if a father knows how to give his children good gifts, our heavenly Father knows how to give us good gifts. And that might be a little something he's got in his back pocket. I got one more thing for you. You like heaven the way that, God, I am loving this place. Come here. Woof, woof, woof. Come here, boy. I don't know. I'll let you decide. But that's our God, ain't he? He loves to give good gifts. But won't this earth be permanently destroyed? Very quickly, I'm looking at this big clock again. Let's flip over to 2 Peter. Because this is something, I have a good friend of mine. I could call him up right now. And he'll tell me that, Jeff, this earth is going to explode, man. And he loves the Lord. He's on his way to heaven. And there's different opinions. So I'm just going to let you make your decisions, because there are wonderful believers who take two different views on this. Let's read God's Word, 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, verse 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires, and they will say, where is this coming? Jesus is coming. Ah, please. That he's promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Yeah, he ain't coming. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Now watch. By these same waters, also the world at that time was deluged, flooded, and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is coming back, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting that anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Watch this verse. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Some will say, my Bible says laid bare. Your Bible says destroyed. Is that what it says? King James? Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? We'll get into that. Well, preacher, I just read it and you just read it. This earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to be burnt up. It's going to be... There's other verses that talk same language. If you go to the book of Psalms, it says that heavens and earth are going to perish. They're going to wear out. They'll be changed like clothes. They'll be discarded. This is dirty. This is old clothes. We ain't wearing it. Luke 21 says heaven and earth is going to pass away. Revelation 21 says heaven and earth will pass away. 2 Peter, we just read it. The heavens are going to disappear. The elements are going to be destroyed. That means the atoms and various things, I guess. Earth is going to be burned up or laid bare. So it does look like from these verses there's going to be some major destruction. And I think we can absolutely say, me and this friend of mine who will disagree with me, and that's fine, the earth as it is now is not going to be the same. It ain't going to be. This earth that we live on now will not be the same when we get the new heavens and the new earth. It's just not the same. But let's look at some other verses too. And remember, God is in the restoration business. He wants to take a 66 Ford Mustang and restore it to its original condition. God is in the redemption, the regeneration, resurrection. God is in the restoring business. Believers who have died 2,000 years ago, what's happened to their bodies? It's decomposed, gone. They are destroyed. They're destroyed. Those bodies are long gone. There might be some bones left. Sharks have eaten believers. Some people have been burned to death, burned at the stake. And God will find those molecules. And there'll be a resurrection for each and every one of them that's trusted Jesus. They'll have a new body, but they'll be the same body because it'll be recognized. It's the same body. It'll just be new. It'll be restored. It'll be restored. That shows continuity. This is the way it is now. That's the way it's going to be in eternity. Continuity. Remember, creation and man, they go together. When man sinned, the creation fell. At the resurrection, the creation is going to say, yes. Creation cannot wait. Again, this going back, it's the creation. It's not a brand new creation. It's the creation that's hollering right now. You understand what I'm saying? They're not going to be just obliterated. I can't wait to be free. That's the same creation talking. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same one. And Jesus said he's going to restore all things. He's not just starting over from scratch in these verses. It shows continuity, continuity, continuity. It's the same, it's the same. It's being restored back to its original condition. But in these verses, very quickly now, let's deal with what is going on here and just see what is really, what can we learn? What is God trying to teach us? As Randy Alcorn says, he says, I think the key to understanding this passage is to look at verse 5 and 6. The first 5 and 6 is when God destroyed, catch our word, destroyed the earth. This earth has already been destroyed one time. But you know what? It didn't stop existing. You see what I'm saying? God destroyed this earth with the flood. It was destroyed. But the same earth kept on going. It was, shall we say, purged of sin at that point, of the sinful people, obviously. Noah had a sin nature and all that. I understand all that. But there was so much wickedness. Every imagination of God's, of the people's minds, God had to deal with that. And so he destroyed the earth. But that same earth kept on going. And so the idea is if this earth gets destroyed by God by fire, remember God's in the restoration business. He'll continue with that same earth. He'll restore it. The earth will get destroyed by fire. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. but God's in the restoration business. A second thing, it says that the heavens will disappear. Some of your translations in verse 10, the last phrase there will say either they got burned up or it says laid bare. And this is when we get into textual criticism or understanding what did the earliest manuscripts have to say on this verse. And this verse is a little tricky. Just doing my study on this, they say this is one of the trickiest verses really to try to figure out from the manuscripts. What does the original Greek say? Well, I know what burned up means, but there's two sets of manuscripts, and the oldest manuscripts have the word laid bare. In other words, the dross, like if you refine gold, the dross has been wiped away. The junk has been wiped away and you've been laid bare back to your original condition. If that is the original Greek word that's used here, then this fits the argument that God is in the restoring business as well. Lastly, in verse 12, the Greek word here that means the heavens that are being on fire is also used, that same phrase is in Revelation, for like a refining fire. In other words, it's not to destroy, but it's to refine. It's to make this earth, to get away, just like in the flood, to get away to sin and to junk and to gook. And let's get back to that original condition that earth used to be in. One more thing I'll say, and then we'll try to wrap this up. In Revelation 21, we say it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. What is the Greek word for new? Well, the Greek word for new means it's better quality. Not as in we're starting over from scratch, making something brand new. It means new in quality. One example that they were mentioning online was this, and it's not a great one, okay, because I know some of us don't like electric cars. Because I'm getting ready to talk about electric cars, okay? So just work with the illustration here. But it's like buying a new car. Well, if you buy a new car, this is the Greek word now. There's two Greek words. One is you get one that's a 2024 with 0 miles on it. Brand spanking new. That is not the Greek word here. The Greek word is it's better in quality. It's an electric car. Work with me, people. It's better in quality. Okay? That's the word that's used here. So it's the same earth, it's just better in quality. The dross has been wiped off. We're getting back to its original condition. It's been restored. So what are we saying as we try to conclude? Well, what we're saying is that there is a very good chance that this earth, yes, this earth will be destroyed, okay? Yes, it will. The Bible just said it, with fire, yes. But that the destruction of this earth will allow this same earth to be restored to its original condition. Man was created to live on this earth. And if our interpretation of the Bible is correct, we will one day live with God on this earth. Heaven will come down. New heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem will sit on this earth, and we will rule and reign with the Lord on this earth. It'll be restored. A perfect place. It's our final home. It's the fourth heaven. Let's wrap this up. Have you been made new? What are you talking about? Well, you remember, we're all sinners. Have you been redeemed? You see, you and I are sinners. We're slaves to sin. We do it naturally. We are a slave. You see something on TV and your mind goes to that and you know you shouldn't because it's engraved in us. We automatically do what's wrong. We're sinners. We need to be saved from our sin. We need to be redeemed. We need to be bought back to our original condition by the blood of Jesus. The thing is, you've got to see your sin and realize that it's only His blood that can forgive you of your sin. It's not you doing any good works. You cannot do any good works to earn heaven. You can't. It's by God's grace through faith that we receive salvation. That's the first thing. Are you saved? Today is the day of salvation. I hope that you will put your faith and trust in Jesus. Simply believe in Jesus, and He will save you from your sins. The second thing is, the Bible actually asks this question. If you're looking at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you look at verse 11, it says, well, since everything will be destroyed, what kind of people ought we to be in 2024? Since this earth is going to be destroyed and God's going to restore it, well, He says we need to live holy lives. We need to live godly lives as we look forward to that day when we'll hear the trumpet call. And this body will be changed. And my dad's body that's in the ground is going to pop out of that tomb and he'll be resurrected. How should we live in 2024 when we see all this junk going around that's destined for destruction? We need to live a holy life. We need to live a life that pleases the Lord. We need to live a life that draws sinners to the Savior. It goes on to say we need to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with our Savior. He died for us. We need to live for Him. We owe Him. We'll worship Him forever. He's worthy. He's a great Savior. And He wants us to live a life saying thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to live my life for you. May we do that this week. Let's pray. Lord, you are in the restoration business. God, you saw us when we were sinners, while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It's like a dead car, a dead 66 Ford Mustang. The engine was dead. That's how we were. And yet you made us alive. You restored us through your Son, Jesus. God, we have a bright future. We thank you that you're in the restoration business, God. You don't just throw us away. You say, I'm gonna make you new, a new creation in Christ, born again. Lord, there may be someone here that needs to be saved, restored to a right relationship with you. God, I just pray that they would not hold on to their sin. That they would not be full of pride and to turn away the goodness of your grace. That they would say, yes, Lord, I need a Savior. I need to be saved today. Lord, speak to them. And I speak to the rest of us, God, who have trusted you. And may we live lives that are holy lives as we see the day coming, as we look forward to that day where we'll live on this earth. We look forward to that, God. So give us a good week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.